Chapter 7. Tim's body was bouncing up and down when he woke up, surrounded by the sound of galloping hooves. His whole body ached, but his face was absolutely throbbing with pain. The taste of blood was thick in his mouth. One of his eyes was swollen shut. The other one might have been as well. It felt like it was opening, but no light was reaching it. He was in the dark. He noticed his hands were tied behind his back. There was only one explanation. He was lying face down on the back of a horse with a bag tied over his head. Shit. He moved his bound wrists together to get a feel for the rope and grinned inside his bag. He would be able to get his hands free in a matter of seconds when he chose to. Not yet, though. Not at this speed. He didn't know what kind of damage he'd take from falling off a horse at full gallop, but imagined he could survive it. It was the other horses he heard right around him that he thought he probably wouldn't survive. They just trample right over him. Best to lie still until they slowed down. In the meantime, he would work out the rest of his escape plan in his head. His circumstances didn't allow for a whole lot of complexity. He'd free his hands, take the bag off of his head, hop off the horse, and... No, he would be spotted as soon as he freed his hands. He'd have to hop off the horse before he took the bag off of his head. It was risky, but he'd need as big a head start as he could get. The horses pounded the earth beneath their hooves for what seemed to Tim like a very long time. But then, time tends to pass more slowly when one is tied up with their head in a bag. He went over his plan again and again in his head. Each time he revisualized it, it seemed more and more plausible. By the time the horses actually slowed down, it seemed foolproof. He was a rogue. This was the sort of thing that rogues do. He had taken the escape artist skill and the stealthy feat. Also, he had the added stealth that came naturally with being a halfling. He was quick and nimble and hard to hit. Everything was working in his favor.
"Ho there!"
shouted the captain, and the gait of the horse he was riding on made the transition from gallop to trot to walk in less than 10 seconds. Now was the time. He freed his hands with as little effort as he had expected to, and pushed himself backwards from the animal's back. He barely had the time to register the feel of his feet hitting the ground before he felt someone else's foot kick him squarely in the temple. Stars flashed inside the darkness of the bag, and then he once again entered the realm of complete darkness. The next time he woke up, it was due to a splash of water on his face. It tasted like someone forgot to flush. He was unable to wipe it away as he discovered that each of his arms was being held by a soldier on either side of him. His vision swam through the dirty water and focused on the bucket that it had presumably come from. The bucket was being held by a short, bald, humanoid creature with dark yellow skin and rusty red eyes. He had a face like a bat, complete with a broad, flat, and turned-up nose and giant pointed ears. He grinned at Tim, exposing a mouth half full of once-pointy teeth that had opted to just rot away rather than fall out like the other half had done. He was very short by human standards, only a little bit taller than Tim. The man behind him towered over both of them. It was Captain Righteous Justificus Blademaster. Nice to see a familiar face.
"Check him for hidden weapons," ordered the captain. "Look closely for thieves' picks."
Tim had nothing on him that they hadn't already taken away. After a very thorough search of his person turned up nothing of interest, the guards pushed Tim into a cell with a tiny barred window on the rear stone wall near the ceiling, presumably to remind the occupant that there was still a world full of sunshine outside which they would never be a part of again, and a small hole in the far corner carved through the stone floor, presumably for the occupant to shit in. His latter presumption was based on the corona of brown-stained stone surrounding the hole. The iron barred door clanged shut, and the little creature with the bat face turned a comically large key in a lock that Tim reckoned he could probably pick with a ship's oar. He then slunk down the hall and out of sight. Captain Righteous gave his subordinates a look, and they shuffled off in the other direction.
"It was foolish of you to try to escape," said the captain, "but I admire your courage."
"Why am I in here?"
"For murdering one of Lord Palahin's guards, of course."
"I didn't murder anybody," Tim argued.
"You were one of the murdering party," said the captain. "Anyway, you haven't been formally charged with anything as of yet."
"Oh," said Tim in a tone of unexpected relief. "What does that mean?"
"It means you'll stay here indefinitely until the Lord decides what to do with you. Probably not longer than a day."
"What happens after that?"
The relief had abandoned his tone.
Either your friends will attempt some sort of rescue mission, unlikely, or they won't, he mused. If the actual murderer can stand trial and execution, then you may be spared. If not, you'll likely do well enough for a scapegoat.
He started to walk away. Tim grabbed two of the bars and shook the door.
A scapegoat! He shouted after the captain. You seriously think that anyone will believe I chopped a guy's head off? Look at me! I'm only 3 feet tall!
What I think is inconsequential, said the captain.
He turned away, walked out, and closed the door behind him.
You won't get away with this!
Tim shouted, knowing there was every chance in the world that Captain Righteous would get away with it. He had to shout something.
There, there, little feller,
came a voice from the cell across from Tim's. Tim hadn't noticed anyone in there before. The initial scan that Tim's eyes had made of his surroundings had probably just passed this guy off as a tarped-over pile of moss-covered garbage and ignored him. Now that he focused on it, he recognized the shape as a human squatting in the corner. Well, he supposed he couldn't be sure it was human, but it was something like it. He was bald on top, but had a long white beard. He looked to have been made out of tent parts.
Save your breath, he said. Ain't no good gonna come from yelling.
Tim said nothing. He stared at the old man until he realized two things suddenly and simultaneously. One was that being put to death quickly might be a blessing compared to spending any amount of time in here. The other was that he'd been correct in his guess as to what the hole in the floor was for. He turned his head away as quickly as it would go and shut his eyes as tight as he could, but the image had already been seared into his brain.
Purr, said the man. Ain't nothing but nature running our course.
He grunted, coughed, and then held his breath. The following silence was broken by a sound that was going to haunt him along with that image for the rest of his life. The old man exhaled.
She's running it pretty freely today.
Tim dropped down to his knees and hid his head under his arms. He wanted to throw up, or cry, or both, but nothing came out. The old man, having finished his business in the corner, stood up and walked up to the bars of his cell.
There now, little guy, he said. What's got you down?
Tim stood back up, clutched a bar in each hand, and looked up at the man.
What's got me down? He said. Did you really just ask me that? Look around where we are. I'm in a tiny cell in a fucking dungeon. I just watched an old guy take a shit. Sorry if I'm spoiling your fun.
What's your name, lad?
Tim, said Tim distractedly.
My name's Greeley. Been in here 14 years next week.
What for?
A bunch of us got drunk one night and thought it'd be a laugh to go steal Lady Pahalin's laundry while it was drying in their garden. You know how kids are.
Well, how'd you get caught?
Mr. Passed out, said Greeley. Next thing I knew, 'twas the middle of the day, and I was lying in the garden wearing naught but a sundress and looking up at four guards and the lady herself. Never could hold me liquor.
And you got 14 years for that?
Greeley muttered.
Got life for it.
Life?
Course, I don't think they ever expected I'd make it this long. Not ideal living conditions down here. You're right about that. Not everybody makes it very long, but it can be done.
Why bother?
How do you mean?
I mean, said Tim, what's the point of keeping yourself alive down here so long if there's no chance of you ever getting out?
I'm a lover of life,
said Greeley cheerily.
And every now and again, you meet some interesting folks down here. Take Gorp, for instance.
Who's Gorp?
He's the guy whose cell you're in, lad. He died a few months back. Dwarf he was. Big, stocky fella. I think there might still be part of his leg back there if ye look.
Greeley pointed to the back of Tim's cell. Tim followed his finger and saw something white poking out from behind his bed.
He only made it a couple of months. Wish he'd held out a bit longer. He knew some dirty jokes.
Tim was taking in only fragments of what Greeley was saying at this point. The bulk of his attention was focused on a dwarven femur.
Where's the rest of them?
Rats took them away, piece at a time.
Rats?
There was a hint of panic in Tim's voice.
Oh, sure, said Greeley. This place is crawling with them, if you know where to look. And that's one of the secrets to making it down here. but he wouldn't have any of it. Too proud to eat a rat. Have ye ever heard of such nonsense? I'll tell you what, they weren't too proud to eat him when they got the chance.
I think I'm going to be sick.
We'll do it over in the corner,
suggested Greeley.
It attracts the rats. I mean, they're easier to catch if they're in the corner.
I don't want to catch any rats, and I'm certainly not going to eat them, said Tim.
Pah, said Greeley. Another one.
He shook his head.
We'll see how you feel about rat after you have to choose between it and the slop that Shorty brings you.
Who's Shorty?
He's the jailer. You met him. Nice enough guy for a goblin, but I think he only knows how to cook one dish. It looks like snot garnished with bug parts. Tastes worse. Hold off on dismissing rat until you've tried that.
I'm not going to be around that long, said Tim. I'm getting the fuck out of here.
Greeley smiled.
Is that so?
Fucking A, that's so, said Tim.
And how do ye propose to do that?
I'll use my skills, said Tim. I'm just locked in a dungeon, for fuck's sake. I've been locked in dungeons hundreds of times.
Really?
Asked Greeley.
Because when ye first got here, ye were whimpering about it like a little bitch, if you don't mind me saying.
Tim ignored him.
The CM always provides a way out, if you use your head.
This must be a new record,
said Greeley.
I don't think I've yet seen a man lose his mind this quickly before, and I've seen plenty of men lose their minds.
This lock is a piece of shit. It should be easy enough to pick.
Greeley wheezed and laughed.
What are you going to pick it with? Your willy.
There's bound to be something in here that I can use as improvised lock picks, said Tim, scanning the tiny cell. I just have to look everywhere.
He started to move to the bed. It felt heavier than it looked.
I wouldn't do that if I were ye,
said Greeley. The laughter had gone from his voice.
Why not?
Asked Tim, heaving as hard as he could against the bed, but moving it only a couple of inches.
Why is this bed so fucking heavy?
It's attached to a lead brick that covers a hole in the wall.
Tim rested, panted, and smiled.
There's a fucking hole in the wall?
He shook his head and laughed.
Let me guess. It's probably just wide enough for me to crawl through.
Greeley shrugged.
Yeah,
he said.
I suppose that it's about that big, but it won't.
Unfucking believable, said Tim. That's about the lamest setup for an escape that I've ever encountered.
He set his feet firmly and leaned hard against the frame of the bed. It started to shift.
Only Mordred would be so unimaginative as to... What's that noise?
There was a loud scratching sound coming from behind the bed, presumably where the hole was supposed to be. Greeley lowered his hands on the bars and frowned.
Rats,
he said.
Ew,
said Tim. He considered grabbing the former dwarf's femur to hit the rats with, but then thought that touching a dead body was still more gross than trying to jump on a rat. He jumped up onto the bed and waited for one of them to scurry past. He looked over the side against the wall.
Oh my fuck!
He shouted. What looked back at him was not what he expected at all. It was a rat all right, but it was about the size of a Rottweiler. It might have been bigger than him. And it looked pissed off. Two red eyes glared at him from behind a mouth full of needle-like teeth and saliva-clumped spikes of hair. Two claws scraped furiously against the mortar of the hole it was trying to squeeze itself through. He jumped off of the bed as though it were on fire, grabbed the femur like it was made out of second chances, and backed up against the corner of the cell with the shithole. The bone was a little less than half his height, but it was thick and solid. He gripped it with two hands, one at the top of the shaft and the other around the ball joint. The knee end was thicker, and he imagined it would hurt quite a bit to be hit with it. He could still hear the mad scraping of claws and guessed that the huge rat might be stuck in the hole. Part of his mind told him that he might have a better chance if he went back and pushed the bed back against the wall. He might push the rat back or even hurt it. The majority of his mind, however, told him that he didn't want to be any closer to that thing than he had to be, and that cowering in the corner holding a bone was his best bet. The scraping became rhythmic and then started to get fainter.
Be on your guard, said Greeley. Here comes the first one.
The first one? Tim shouted back at him. How many are there?
Hard to say. There's a nest of them.
He craned his neck and raised an eyebrow.
I'd say somewhere in the neighborhood of...
Ah!
Out in the open, the rat was even more horrifying. It barely had enough hair on it to qualify as a mammal. Its sides and back were scraped from squeezing through the hole in the wall, and tiny streams of blood trickled around filthy and sparse patches of fur. It took a second eye to him, and then lunged forward. Tim swung the bone like the bases were loaded and missed the rat completely. The rat didn't fare much better. Tim was small, but he was finding out just how nimble he was. He jumped up, kicked off the wall, and landed on his feet on the rat's tail. The rat shrieked, and Tim shuddered. The noise was so horrible that for a moment, Tim lost control of his hand, and the bone clattered onto the stone floor. The rat nipped at him again, and once again, Tim jumped out of the way. He was more agile than this thing, and he might be able to dodge a few more bites, but he wouldn't be able to keep this up for long. He put his arms out to make himself look bigger. He wasn't sure if that worked or not, but he was able to initiate a slow, clockwise face-off with the rat. He hoped it would buy him enough time to grab the bone again. They didn't quite make it that far. Sensing that the rat was about to make its move, Tim dove for the bone, and the rat caught him by the foot. Tim screamed as the top and bottom of his foot was invaded by what felt like thousands of hypodermic needles, probably injecting entire civilizations worth of bacteria in the saliva. Tim ripped his foot away. It tore into ribbons as it raked across rat teeth. Tim swung the bone as hard as he could and finally connected with the rat's face. It was an awkward angle, and it accomplished little more than buying him some time to stand up again. With its face covered in Tim's blood, the rat managed to look even more terrifying than it had before. It jumped up at him and bit a small chunk of skin from his calf on the same leg with the injured foot. Tim held back his scream and tried to channel that energy into his swing. Too much energy. He swung wide again and hit nothing but air. The room spun around, but he managed to duck out of the way of another rat bite. Tim held the rat at bay with the end of the bone. It stared back into his eyes, drooling his blood, whisking its leathery tongue around its lips, looking for another opportunity to strike. Tim saw that he had actually managed to do some damage to it when he hit it before. Blood flowed from a gash in its nose.
"Better hurry it along, lad," said Greeley. "You're about to have some more company."
"Shit," said Tim, and did the only thing he could. He took one more swing. He missed.
"Fuck!"
The rat closed in for the kill, and Tim knew that one more bite would probably do it. He blocked the bite with the bone and then tore it out of its mouth. The rat hissed at him, and Tim swung the bone around one more time. He connected squarely with the side of the rat's head. It fell over sideways, and Tim beat it a couple more times for good measure. Interrupted Greeley.
"Mr. Tim?"
Tim looked up and then over toward the bed. There was the familiar sound of frantic scraping, claws against brick and mortar.
"Oh, yeah," he said. "Shit!"
He crawled over to the bed and tried to push it back against the wall. With only one good foot left to push with, the bed wasn't budging.
"He's nearly out," said Greeley. "Get ready!"
"Fuck, fuck, 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 fuck,"
Tim muttered to himself. He examined the bone. It had a fracture running down it and wasn't going to take a lot more abuse before it split in two. An idea occurred to him, and he deliberately smashed the bone into the floor, breaking off the weakened part. What he was left with resembled a sword more than a club. It would do nicely. He waved it around until he got a good feel for it, thrust it forward a couple of times, and then crouched down on the side of the bed. He'd only have one chance at this. But if he pulled it off, this rat should go down much faster than the previous one. The scraping calmed and stopped. Tim resisted the urge to run back into the corner. Claws clattered against the stone floor, and a second rat scurried toward its fallen mate, completely oblivious to any threats to itself. As soon as its head was in view, Tim thrust his weapon forward, straight into its neck. It didn't even have a chance to shriek. It just gurgled as its blood poured down the length of Gorp's former leg. The rat fell, and Tim wasted no time making another attempt to move the bed back against the wall.
"You got a third one coming through,"
Greeley warned Tim. Tim winced in pain as he pushed with both feet to move the bed. It gave about an inch, and the scraping on the other side became more frantic. Tim braced himself for the pain, pushed with every ounce of strength he could muster, and succeeded in moving the bed back up against the wall. It didn't connect with the solid thud he'd been expecting, but instead with a crunch and a screech. The screech kept on going. He'd caught at least part of the third rat with the bed, maybe a front paw or its nose.
"Oh!" said Greeley. "You seem to have neutralized the third rat."
"He doesn't sound neutralized to me,"
Tim said over the screeching. He was sitting on the floor, thankful for what he was sure would only be a brief opportunity to rest.
He put his mind to work on what he should do next. His escape tunnel was looking like less of an option now.
"What's on the other side of that wall?"
he asked Greeley, pointing to the wall behind him.
"Another cell," said Greeley.
"That's it?" asked Tim. "Why didn't you tell me that before?"
"I tried to, but ye—"
"Fuck!" Tim cut him off. "I'm back at square one," he said to himself. "Except now I'm nearly dead, and I have two giant rat corpses for company."
He considered his current inventory. One broken bone, not entirely useless as a weapon. One bed complete with lead brick, no immediate uses came to mind except for the one in which it was currently employed. Two giant rat corpses. Food? He supposed they'd have to do if it came to that. They must have some kind of nutritional value if they've been keeping Greeley going for so long. It was a shame that he couldn't give one to Greeley. He couldn't think of anyone who would be more excited by the gift of a big dead rat. He hadn't had any time to really form any sense of affection towards Greeley. In fact, if he had to make the choice right then, he probably would have judged him as an idiot and someone who he didn't like on the whole. But when you've got something you don't want, and there's someone else not 15 feet away from you who you know would really want it, well, that situation doesn't... An idea hit him. Rat bones. If he could get some of the longer, thinner bones out of one of these bastards, he'd be able to pick that lock with no problem. Tim grabbed the shorter shard of bone that he'd broken off from his makeshift weapon. He could probably use it to scrape some flesh away, dig down to some bone. Moving with only his hands, still in a sitting position, he made his way to the second rat. He poked at it with the longer part of the bone. It did not respond. He ran the bone sword through the hole in its neck through which he had killed it and tried to leverage the body forward a little.
"Maybe you should cut that guy loose,"
suggested Greeley. Tim hardly noticed the third rat's screams anymore. It was just part of the background noise to him.
"Listen to him! He's suffering, he is!"
Tim leaned forward and then slammed his back as hard as he could into the bed. The rat gave a new shriek of pain and then maintained its former screaming.
"Fuck him!" said Tim. "Did you see my foot? I might never walk right again!"
Tim grabbed the rat next to him by the ear and shoved it forward as far as he could. This meant that his back was pushing hard into the bed, and the third rat once again voiced his objection. He managed to get the front paw exposed from the side of the bed and tried to cut away as close to the body as he could, but his bone weapons seemed less ideal for precision cutting than they had been with panicked stabbing. Once he removed the arm from the bulk of the body, he'd been able to whittle the flesh from the bone with greater care. Right now, he only seemed to be succeeding at mangling a corpse. With the help of his good leg and both arms, he finally ripped the leg off of the creature and fell backwards.
"Change of heart?"
asked Greeley.
"What are you talking about?"
"You gonna eat that?"
"No, I'm not gonna fucking eat that," said Tim.
"Mind tossing it here, then?"
"No," said Tim. "Why would I go to all that bother to cut this thing's leg off just to toss it to you so you can eat it?"
"Dunno."
"I'm getting the fuck out of here. If I've got time, I might be able to get you out, too. Or you can stay here and eat all the rats you like. Makes no difference to me."
"Well, whatever you're doing, you'd better get a move on it. Shorty should be making his rounds sometime soon."
Tim scraped furiously at the flesh of the rat's former forearm, trying to remove the skin without breaking the bones underneath. Digging down, he finally found the bones. He was able to remove one without breaking it, but the other one snapped. The bone he successfully recovered was slender, but strong. It would probably do. He would still need one more. He was getting the hang of flesh removal now, and he separated the bone of the rat's upper arm from the flesh around it without much effort. It was thicker, but not by much. It might do. He pulled himself up to his feet and hobbled over to the barred door, keeping as much of his weight as possible on his good leg. He put his ear to the lock and felt around the inside of it with the rat bones. About 10 seconds later, he heard a click. He pushed. The door swung freely on its hinges.
"Well, I'll be damned," said Greeley. "Not a bad show, lad. Not at all."
Tim closed the door again.
"Do you want to get out of here?" he asked Greeley.
"Yar,"
said Greeley.
"I think I'd like to see this guy again."
"Are you willing to fight? I mean, if it comes to that?"
"If we get caught outside of these cells," said Greeley, "you can be damn well certain it's gonna come to that. I'll fight. If you can kill two dire rats with naught but poor Gorp's leg, I'll manage to find something."
Tim opened the door as carefully and silently as he could, and then went to work on Greeley's door.
You really eat those things?
Nah, said Greeley. Not those biggins. They can't get into me cage. I just eat the normal rats that come in every now and again when I can catch them. Shorty raises the biggins for himself. Takes away about one a week. I normally get a taste of it round the great harvest.
The lock clicked. Greeley pushed on the door. Tim pushed back.
Not yet.
Why not?
You said Shorty's due to come around soon, right?
Yar, said Greeley. So it's probably best we get our arses a-moving, don't you think?
No, said Tim. He's pretty small. If we catch him by surprise, we can take him out of the equation.
You don't mean...
No, said Tim, but we can at least lock him in one of these cells. We don't know what we're going to face out there, and we don't need any surprises from the rear.
Well, aren't ye a smart little guy?
You know, that's really condescending.
Sorry.
Listen, when he comes in here, he's going to head immediately over here and ask me what the fuck's going on with all these giant rats. You're going to open your door and grab him from behind. I'll get out of the way, and you can keep on shoving him into here.
Right.
Tim spent a full 5 minutes wondering if they'd made the right choice to wait in their cells before Shorty finally showed himself. He walked into the hallway with a concerned look on his face and nodded to Greeley. Greeley nodded back as if nothing was out of the ordinary. Shorty turned his attention to Tim's cell. His yellow eyes grew round and his jaw dropped open.
My rats!
Croaked the old goblin.
What have you done, boy?
Oh, I'm fine, said Tim. Don't worry about me.
Get back, you stupid, murdering halfwit!
He raked his giant brass key across the bars of Tim's cell, and Tim instinctively stepped back from the noise.
What the devil?
Said Shorty, as the cell door nudged back a bit. He looked up at Tim, who smiled and shrugged. The next thing Tim knew, the goblin was engulfed in something that looked like a hairy, broken box kite, and being pushed into his cell. Tim relieved him of his keys and picked up his bone sword from behind the rat where he had hidden it. Greeley stood up, and Tim pointed the blood-soaked broken bone down at the surprised-looking goblin. Shorty looked up at Greeley.
What do you think you're doing, man?
It wasn't said in anger or from any perceived position of authority. To Tim, it actually sounded like concern.
It looks like I'm chicken out early,
said Greeley.
You'll never get past the guards outside,
said Shorty.
This here's a smart lad, said Greeley,
gesturing to Tim.
I'm sure he's got a plan for that.
Shorty looked up at Tim. His face was a question mark.
I'm still working out the finer details, Tim lied.
Shorty started to get up. Uh-uh, said Tim, brandishing his bone. Shorty scooted back, but remained sitting.
Is that rat blood?
He grimaced.
Most of it, said Tim.
I'll do as you say,
said Shorty.
Just keep that away from me. Those things carry disease, you know.
Tim looked down at his foot.
Yes, that thought had occurred to me.
He looked over at Greeley and jerked his head back towards the door. When Greeley was out of the cell, Tim backed out as well and locked the door behind him.
Sorry about this, Shorty, said Greeley.
Shorty shrugged.
I'd have done the same thing.
So,
Greeley addressed Tim,
what's the plan?
What's that way?
Tim asked, indicating the direction Shorty came from.
Shorty's quarters, I expect. I don't get around much.
Let's see if there's anything useful in there, Tim said, and led the way briskly.
You got some pep back in your step, I see,
said Greeley. Tim stopped and looked down at his foot. It still looked pretty bad, but not as bad as it had looked a few moments ago.
You know, you're right. I feel better. Not 100%, but there's a noticeable difference. I wonder.
He bit his lower lip for a moment, and then shook the thought away.
We can think about that later. Let's keep going.
Greeley followed Tim to a small wooden door which stood ajar a little way down the hall. Firelight glowed inside. Tim nudged the door with his bone and revealed a cozy little room, complete with a bed, a rocking chair, a dresser, and a shelf full of books. On top of the dresser were a few items that Tim recognized immediately. His bow was there, as was his belt, with his dagger and rapier still sheathed in it. He walked in to grab it and was bombarded with absolute silence. The silence was so sudden and so complete that he assumed he'd just been struck unconscious and wondered how he was able to continue seeing. No more screaming rats,
No more footsteps. No more of the general white noise that he never even knew was there until it was all gone. He turned around to look at Greeley. Greeley put his hands out, palms up, and mouthed the word, "What?" "I can't hear anything," Tim mouthed back, completely unnerved that there was no sound coming out of his mouth. Greeley's face scrunched up, and he cupped a hand over one ear. "What?" he mouthed again. Tim decided that this was just something he was going to have to figure out later. Time was too precious a commodity right now. He grabbed his stuff and walked back out. Upon crossing the threshold of the door, he got slammed in the ears with the sounds of screaming rats and a rush of white noise. He dropped his belongings and put his hands over his ears.
"Are ye all right, Mr. Tim?"
asked Greeley.
"Huh?"
said Tim. He slowly removed his hands from his ears.
"Yeah, just a headache. You know, it's completely silent in there."
"You don't say,"
said Greeley, and poked his head in. He prodded one ear with a finger and then removed and inspected it. Then he farted. Tim was at just the wrong height for that. Greeley pulled his head back out.
"Yar,"
he said.
"Silent is the grave. How about that?"
"How is that possible?" asked Tim.
"I expected some sort of silent spell," proposed Greeley. "Makes sense for a jailer in a dungeon. You'd go mad listening to all those people screaming their heads off all the time."
Tim shrugged. That was good enough for him. He buckled his belt and slung his bow around his back. He led the way back past the cells, with Greeley following behind.
"Hey!"
shouted Shorty.
"Those are my things, you lousy thief!"
"I prefer the term rogue," said Tim. "Thief is so second edition."
"First you kill my rats, now you steal my things!"
Shorty turned his head. Tim thought he might actually have seen his red goblin eyes start to water.
30 years of service, and it's the first thing they ever gave to me."
"Why'd they give it to you?" asked Tim.
"They said it was too small for any of them to use."
"So you knew it all belonged to me."
"That's why I haven't been wearing it,"
explained Shorty.
"I'd very much like to stroll up and down here like a proper jailer with some weapons strapped to my sides. But at the same time, I didn't want to rub it in your face. I was planning to wait until after you were dead."
"That's very thoughtful."
Shorty wiped his sleeve across his eyes and turned back to face them.
"Hey, listen," he said. "I've been thinking. Why don't you take me with you?"
Tim raised both eyebrows.
"Ha," he said. "Nice try, buddy. I don't think so."
"Come on now," pleaded Shorty. "I'm a prisoner in here, same as you."
"You've only been in there for a minute."
"I mean, as a jailer. Do you think I get free reign of the castle? I haven't been through that door since they threw me in here."
He indicated the door up the steps, which the captain and his guard had exited through.
"Once they get wind of me letting you escape, I'm as good as dead."
Tim looked at Greeley. Greeley shrugged.
"He has been a loyal friend all these years."
"A loyal friend?" asked Tim. "He's been your jailer."
"But he's been pretty good about it, as jailers go. He's been the only consistent friend I've had to talk to for any significant length of time."
"I can't believe I'm considering this," said Tim. Shorty looked at Tim without trying to hide the tears he was willing to well up in his eyes.
"I've got sons out there somewhere," he said. "I'd like to see them again."
"Oh, for fuck's sake, all right."
He grabbed the key ring and inserted a key.
"I'm warning you, though. If you betray us, I will fucking end you on the spot. I'll put that before defending my own life, even. Do we understand each other?"
"Absolutely, sir."
"Just call me Tim."
He started walking to the door.
"Would you mind, Mr. Tim,"
asked Shorty as humbly as he could manage,
"telling us the plan?"
Greeley stood next to Shorty in solidarity. Tim's shoulders slumped down.
"I don't actually have a plan. I figured we'd just do our best to be sneaky and try to find the quickest way out."
"I beg your pardon, sir," said Shorty, "but that doesn't sound like much of a plan."
Greeley nodded in agreement, but tried to look apologetic about it.
"Well, what the fuck do you expect from me?"
"You had a pretty good plan to catch me," said Shorty. "I know Greeley didn't come up with that."
Greeley nodded enthusiastically.
"That's right. That was all him."
"But there's only one of you, and you aren't any bigger than me," said Tim. "And we outnumbered you 2-1. If they come back in here like they did when they brought me here, we'll be outnumbered, barely armed, tired, and underfed.
I've got some leftover rat in my room,
offered Shorty.
No, thank you.
I'm not saying we ought to use the same trick twice,
said Shorty,
but running out there without any sort of plan amounts to the same as suicide.
Tim looked around.
Okay, I might have something.
See?
Said Shorty.
That wasn't so hard.
I didn't say it was something good, and it depends on a lot of contingencies.
What's a contingency?
Asked Greeley.
Shit that could go wrong.
Your plan depends on a lot of shit going wrong?
Asked Greeley.
I like them odds.
I have something for you,
said Shorty, and ran off towards his room.
But don't you want... said Tim.
It's for your leg!
The goblin shouted back excitedly. Tim let him go. His leg felt better than before, but he really wouldn't mind having it sorted out completely if Shorty had something that could help. Shorty came back with a stoppered vial of a dirty brownish-yellow fluid.
Drink this!
Tim looked at the vial doubtfully, took it, and unstoppered it. His nose was immediately assaulted.
Blah! He said. This smells like piss!
Some of it is,
said Shorty.
I'm not drinking this.
It's a healing potion, said Shorty. It will heal your leg. There are more lives at stake than your own. Drink it.
Is urine really one of the components of a healing potion?
Not exactly. I have limited resources down here. Sometimes I just have to make do. Come on now. One gulp. Don't even think about it.
Tim held his nose and downed the potion. It burned its way down his throat like a shot of cheap whiskey. It exploded into his stomach like a fireball. His face held a wince that he dared not let go of. He was resisting the urge to vomit, not because he had any suspicion that this toxic waste was going to do his body any good, but rather because he knew his esophagus wasn't going to be able to handle a second pass. When the urge subsided, he allowed his face to relax enough to wheeze in a drawn-out lungful of air.
Oh, my God,
he said as soon as he was able to speak.
It's worse than piss.
He grabbed his right thigh with both hands as the sensation of burning hard liquor flowed from his stomach straight through to his leg. A tingling feeling, like the pins and needles one feels after the blood rushes back into a limb which had fallen asleep, coursed down the length of his leg. When the tingle reached the bite in his calf, the wound seared like it had been dunked in a vat of lemon juice, and Tim collapsed to the floor. Clutching his leg did him no good, and so he chose instead to writhe around on the floor, clenching his teeth and waiting in terrified anticipation for the effect to reach his foot. Greeley took a step toward him, but Shorty put up a hand to stop him.
You didn't,
started Greeley.
He'll be fine,
Shorty assured him.
Ah-ha-ha-ha-ha!
Tim screamed as the potion found his foot. He started pounding on the stone floor with his fists.
Grab his arm,
demanded Shorty, as he went to grab the other one. Greeley hesitated, so Shorty continued.
His healthy foot isn't going to do us any good if he smashes his hands up.
That made sense enough to Greeley, who grabbed Tim's arms as tight as he could. Neither Shorty nor Greeley was strong enough to keep Tim from flailing his arms any which way he liked, but they were providing enough resistance to keep him from hurting himself. Tim's foot felt like it was roasting in a fire for a few seconds longer, and then the sensation left him altogether. His body went limp. Shorty and Greeley relaxed their hold on him and watched his chest heave up and down as he lay panting on the floor. When he had enough breath in him to do so, he propped himself up on his elbows, raised his head, and looked down at his foot. It was still filthy with drying blood, but it was whole. He wiggled his toes. They seemed to be waving at him. He smiled at them. He wiped the sweat from his forehead and looked up at Shorty.
It worked, said Tim, smiling.
Of course it worked,
said Shorty indignantly.
What kind of goblin do you take me for?
The kind that keeps an innocent man in prison, awaiting his execution,
said Tim. Shorty rolled his red eyes.
I suppose I'm never going to live that down, eh?
Tim hopped up to his feet. He kicked one leg out and then switched to the other. He stomped the bare soles of his feet on the cold stone floor.
Greeley cautiously interjected. You said you had some kind of plan, did ye?